And that's what God wanted for Israel. He wanted them to be a theocracy. You know what a theocracy is? A theocracy is not a democracy where people are in charge. You know, the people vote and decide. A theocracy is where God is in charge. And he's the one that calls the shots. He is king. And that's what we need to be. Our church should be a theocracy. Our homes should be a theocracy. Our lives should be a theocracy.
Planting churches, preparing leaders, proclaiming the gospel till the whole world hears. This is the Grand Old Gospel Hour.
You might be a rich man living like a king, having everything you want and needing not a thing.
You might be important, and people know your name. You might have your name in lights, enjoying all the fame.
Living life the way you want, thinking you're the boss. But if that is the way you think, it comes with quite a cost.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
God's people wanted a king, just like the other nations around them. They weren't satisfied with God as their ruler. Are we?
Let's pray together and ask for God's help. Heavenly Father, again, we lay this time before you and ask that you would cause your word to come alive in our hearts, not just that we would be hearers, but that we would be doers. And we'll give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, in 1945, Byron Nelson had a great season playing golf. He played 30 tournaments and won 18 out of the 30, and he won 11 tournaments in a row. And at the height of his career, when many thought that he could have been the best of all time, he decided to retire from golf and to go raise his family on a ranch. And, you know, the guiding principle of materialism that runs this world didn't understand and couldn't come to grips with how a man would turn away from all the offers of wealth and fortune to go raise his family in the quietness of a ranch. But Byron Nelson had a different rule which governed his life. And the question for you and I is the same one. What principle is going to govern our lives? What is it and who is it that we're going to give the right to tell us what to do? Who is it that we're going to lay down before and offer our loyalty to? In other words, who will be your king? As we come to chapter 8 in 1 Samuel, where we are in the story, in the progression of this story, is that Samuel is about to offer one of his most important prophecies, because the people came to him and the people looked around and all the countries around had kings. And so, you know, they decided that they wanted to be like all the other nations around. And so they asked Samuel, they said, cause us to have a king. You're the prophet. Why don't you declare a king for us so that we can be like everybody else around? And Samuel goes into a prophecy and tells them what it's going to be like if they decide on a human king. And some of the things, when you read those verses there from verses 9 through 17, and we'll touch on a thought from that section, but you see in that section there that all these atrocities are going to come down on them because they choose a king other than the Lord. I want you to notice a few principles here that give us reason to give some thought to this whole question of who's going to be a king. And the first one comes out of verse 5. If you look at verse 5, he said to him, look, you are old and your sons, this is the people talking to Samuel now, you are old and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. In other words, they wanted to be like everybody else, and that was the primary motivation that they had why they wanted a king. And it seems as though it's the chief motivation that you and I struggle with today, that oftentimes we don't want to stick out like a sore thumb. Oftentimes we want to fit in to the crowd. We want to be like everybody else. And because of our desire to not be so strange, because of our desire to not be so peculiar, because we want to run with the same guiding principles as the world, then we oftentimes also pick another king other than God. It's still a motivation for many of us today. And since other nations had kings, it seems strange that Israel was the only nation without a royal family to bow down to and without a human king to lead them. Up to this point, the Lord revealed his will to the nation of Israel through judges and prophets. You remember, and it's, you'll see it even further as they move on in their history, that God would raise up a prophet, God would speak to that prophet, and then that prophet would relay the word of God to the people. And when you talk about what is prophecy, you hear people talking about prophecy. Prophecy is simply hearing from God and relaying to others what God has said. And in the Old Testament, they didn't have a Bible to go find out what God had to say. So God spoke to them in visions and dreams and in other methods. But however God speaks to you, and God primarily today speaks to us through the Word of God, through the Bible, when God speaks to us, we are prophetic when we share the Word of God with others. And so what I'm doing even today is prophecy. But I don't want to equate prophecy with taking the Word of God and preaching, because we have a prophetic function in our minds and in our hearts and in our lives when we're on the job and we share the Word of God, when we're at home raising our children and we share the Word of God, when we're talking to the neighbor or coworker and we share the Word of God. That's prophecy. It's hearing from God and sharing what God has said to the people. And that's exactly what Samuel was doing. Samuel was hearing from God and sharing this word to the other, to the people around the nation of Israel. And he began to tell them what it was going to be like. Unfortunately, Christians today bail out and decide that they want to live like everybody else. Now, I want us, before we move on to another point here, I want us to stop and examine our own hearts. Because the question is, are you willing to be peculiar to be a disciple of Christ? I mean, that's something that each one of us has to answer for ourselves. Are you willing to be seen as strange in order to follow Christ? Are you willing to stick out like a sore thumb, as a round peg in a square hole, in order to follow Christ? And for many Christians, we shy away from that. We bail out on being different because we want to be like everybody else. And so in verse 7, you notice that they rejected the kingdom of God. Verse 7 says, "The Lord said to Samuel, 'Heed the voice of the people in all that they say, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them.'" They rejected the Lord as king. Now, Samuel could have taken it personally, but what the Lord is telling Samuel is, don't take it personally, because it's not about you. They're rejecting me. They're rejecting God. And there are times when we try and share the word of God, even with Christians, and walk away feeling rejected as they refuse to obey the clear commandment of the Lord. Have you ever shared with anybody what thus says the Lord and they just didn't want to hear it? You ever had that experience? If you haven't, then you probably haven't done a whole lot of sharing. Because if you share faithfully what thus says the Lord, people don't always want to hear it. They don't want that authority over them. They don't want you, you know, imposing your views on their lives. They don't want to hear what God has to say. They want to be free agents. But when you feel that rejection, don't take it personally. Because what the Lord told Samuel, I'll say, applies to every one of us that are in that prophetic mode, that it's not about you. They're rejecting God. They're rejecting his authority in their lives. And so there's some encouragement here in this text, because the rejection is really against the Lord and as king in their hearts. When we reject the King of Kings as the master in our lives, we reach for the blessings that he so freely gives us from places and people that can't deliver. Now, here's where we get to the meat of it, Because when we get to the place where we turn our back on God, where are you going to turn? Who are you going to turn to? If he's not going to be king in your life, then who is? And the fact of the matter is, somebody or something is going to run your life. There's going to be some principle that's going to guide your thinking and guide your life. And if it's not going to be God, then what is it? And for many of us, it's our own selfish desires. There's some of us that are run, our lives are directed by the lusts and the passions of the flesh. Amen. Not this crowd, not at 8 o'clock. I know it can't be this crowd. But there are a lot of people whose lives are run and dictated to. And you just go to the barber shop and talk to them. And, you know, you hear things like, oh, how can you say no when, you know, they're there offering themselves to you? How can you say no when this temptation is in front of you and that temptation is in front of you? And what they're saying is, there's a master here that you just can't refuse. And what I'm saying is, if God is going to be king in your life, then your flesh has to take a back seat. And if your flesh is going to be the king, then God is going to have to take a back seat. Because you can't have two masters trying to squeeze themselves on the same throne. There are other people who what runs their life is the profit principle. You know what the profit principle is, right? If you're going to make money, go in that direction. And what guides their life is this whole pursuit of money. And they will be dishonest, and they will be conniving, and they will be scheming, and they'll do whatever they have to do to get more of that money. And that becomes a master in their lives. We need to make sure that we are not going after those other masters, because what the Lord is telling Samuel is, remind the people that when you choose another king other than God, those kings can't deliver. Those kings will never come through for you. They'll never provide the happiness. They'll never provide the fulfillment. They'll never provide the satisfaction. And whatever else you're choosing as a guiding principle in your life other than the word of God, I'm going to tell you, it's going to fall short. And you're not going to get all that God has for you. The story is told about a squirrel that couldn't stop drooling over the bird feed in a container that was just outside of his reach, because the bird feed, the birds could get in there, and there he's watching all these birds eating and eating and eating. And this squirrel was just too big to get into that place where the bird feed was. And he's drooling over the bird feed. And meanwhile, there were all these acorns at the bottom of the tree waiting for him. But rather than going down and having his fill with the acorns that were meant for him, he's drooling over this bird feed that just couldn't, it was outside his reach, and it couldn't provide the satisfaction that he wants. I think that's exactly where you and I are. We're like the squirrels. And God is offering his guidance to us into a life of fulfillment, into a life of joy. He's offering his leadership to us into a life that will take us into a life of purpose. And meanwhile, we're there like the squirrel with our nose in the hole, and we just can't seem to reach what we're after. And it's always just outside of our grasp. And we can't get our eyes off the bird feed that wasn't meant for us. And meanwhile, there's a ground full of acorns waiting, a feast waiting that the Lord wants to provide for us. You know, we're not the first ones to be like that squirrel. Adam and Eve in the garden. You remember the story of Adam and Eve in the garden? And Satan came up, squirreled his way up in there, and he said, you know, God is really holding something back on you. There's something that God doesn't want you to know about. Because if you eat this fruit, you could be like him. And so out of that selfish desire that they had to be like God, they're like the squirrel reaching for something that they can't attain, is a dead end. And meanwhile, God had a Garden of Eden waiting for them, all that they could desire. And they rejected God's kingship in their lives and all the blessings of God to go after what wasn't intended for them. We're so often like Israel, and we're like the squirrel, and we're like Adam and Eve and every other human that has passed through this race. We too have so often rejected the King in heaven to be like the birds that we see around us enjoying the bird feed. And meanwhile, the birds that we see enjoying the bird feed around us, they're still unsatisfied and hungry. So we need to accept Christ as King in our lives. Now, take a look at these verses from 9 to 17. That's what our brother Chuck read earlier for us. And what I want you to see out of these verses is that when you choose a king, it's going to affect your future. And that's really what his prophecy was all about in these verses. I'm not going to take the time to read them all again. But he says in verse 9, "Therefore, heed their voice. However, you shall solemnly forewarn them and show them the behavior of the king who will reign over them." And so Samuel goes into this prophecy to warn the children of Israel that this king that they are going to take on, if they reject God, they're going to allow someone else to rule over them. And that person is going to turn out to be a tyrant. The king will use you for his own benefit. Notice that the list given in the text paints a picture of people working for the benefit of the king. I hope you see that. If you read verses 9 to 17, as you look through all the things that are going to happen from this king, it turns out that the people are going to work for the benefit of the king. And let me tell you something. If you follow a human king, you are going to end up following a tyrant. Because the more power you give a man, the more that power corrupts a man. And the more that man will turn around and lay all that power over on you and become a tyrant. And then force you to work for his benefit. And so you see things in the text, like as you read through verse 11, "He will take your sons and appoint them for his own chariots and to be his horsemen, and some will run before his chariots. He will appoint captains over thousands and captains over fifties, will set some to plow his ground and to reap his harvest, and some to make his weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. He'll take your daughters to be his perfumers, cooks, and bakers. He will take the best of your fields, your vineyards, and your olive groves and give them to the servants." What's he saying? Every human king turns out, when he's appointed all, given all this power, because we're sinful creatures, power corrupts. And ultimate power corrupts ultimately. Is that the absolutely? Absolute power corrupts absolutely. And so we need to be very, very careful that we don't follow a man, that we don't follow any human being other than that perfect king, which is Christ. And, you know, there's a big difference between God in heaven and human kings, because God doesn't need you to protect his stuff. Amen. He doesn't need you to gather his harvest. He doesn't need you to build him some chariots. He can defend himself without your sons and daughters. God doesn't need you for any of that stuff. So he's not recruiting you for his benefit. The relationship between us and our Creator God is for our benefit. And many times we think that God is trying to spoil our fun, that God is being a tyrant by making these rules and regulations that forbid us from doing this and not doing that. But all those things are for our benefit. He doesn't say that we should be in a monogamous relationship because he's trying to steal our fun away. He has laid that down from the beginning of human time for our benefit, to save us from disease and to save us from disaster and to be a force for good in our society, to build families that will be intact to raise children. He's done all that for our civilization and for our benefit. And so he's thinking about us as opposed to human kings that are thinking about themselves. Now, I'm not just talking about, you know, giving a man, a human king, absolute power. But I think we need to carry that all the way down, even whether it's in the church or on the job or in our families. We need to make sure that Jesus is king in every one of our institutions, that he's in charge. And that's what God wanted for Israel. He wanted them to be a theocracy. You know what a theocracy is? A theocracy is not a democracy where people are in charge. You know, the people vote and decide. A theocracy is where God is in charge. And he's the one that calls the shots. He is king. And that's what we need to be. Our church should be a theocracy. Our homes should be a theocracy. Our lives should be a theocracy. So that he is in charge, he's calling the shots. And anytime, whether, I don't care if he's wearing robes and calls himself, you know, Reverend this and that, the honorable, whatever else. Anytime anybody, he could call himself king if he wants. Anytime anybody wants us to follow another principle other than what the word of God says, we need to reject it. Because our determination is we're following the king. We're going to be his subjects. Our lives, our families, our homes, our church is going to be run like a theocracy. And so a quick survey of human history bears out the truth of what Samuel was pointing out here. In fact, Jesus came to earth to model for us what real servant leadership looks like. And you can be confident that when you allow God to rule your life, everything he commands is for your benefit. The unbeliever says that it's not for my benefit, but God is there to let us know that he loves us and he demonstrates his love for us. How much more could he demonstrate his care for us than to lay down his life and die for us? What other king is going to lay down their life for their subjects? There is no other king.
Just before we return to the close of today's message, we have an offer that will help start your year with a fresh perspective in discipleship for both you and those in your sphere of influence. It's Dr. Tony Hart's book, Table Talk with Jesus. The book explores the motivation and provision for following Jesus as shared by him with his disciples during the Passover feast. Stay with us for our contact information at the end of today's program. Here's Dr. Hart.
And so we struggle to believe in such a great king because all of our human examples fall so short of that kind of loving concern. Do you know that women with abusive fathers struggle to believe in a heavenly father? That people who have gone through difficult times have find it difficult to believe that God cares about them. And so we need to cause them and help them to see that God is unlike your human father. God is unlike your boss. God is unlike any other relationship that you have. Your relationship with God is one that we can rest in, one that we can have confidence in. So take the testimony of those who have walked with God for a while and allowed him to rule in their lives, and let them encourage you to allow God to be king in your life as well. This text forces us to compare the two futures, those who allow God to be king in their lives versus those who reject him as king and desire another king. Now, I want to close with verse 22. Look at verse 22 at the end of the chapter. So the Lord said to Samuel, heed their voice and make them a king. And Samuel said to the men of Israel, every man go to his city. You remember Burger King had that slogan a few years back. I don't know if they still use it. Have it your way. Have it your way. If that's what you want. That's why you have to be careful what you pray for. Because sometimes God will provide and give you exactly what you're praying for. Sometimes to just teach us. See, I told you. You thought that's what you wanted, but see, that's not really what's going to provide the future that you're looking forward to. And I think that that's exactly what God did here with the nation of Israel. They rejected his kingship. And so God turns around to Samuel and say, you know what? They want a king. Give them a king. They want to be like all the other nations around. They can be like all the other nations around in this respect. And they can have a king. Give it to them. And sometimes you and I, we wonder why we struggle in areas in our lives. We wonder why we go through stuff in our lives. And I think that many of us, we go through difficulties in our lives because we have rejected what God has said. We want another path. And God ultimately says, okay, give it to him. Let him walk down that road. And let's see how it turns out. I'm going to suggest to you that we need to make sure that we declare God to be king in our lives and don't allow ourselves to be talked out of it. Don't allow any other desires to sidetrack us or distract us from where God is trying to take us. God is not going to force himself on anybody. He's not going to twist your arm. God's not going to, you know, force you to do what he wants you to do. You can choose whatever guiding principle you want to live your life by. You can follow whatever rule you want to follow in life. You can run your life the way you want to run it. But, you know, as my dad used to say, he used to say, you can do any fool thing you want to do, but you can't choose the consequences. You can choose to do whatever you want, but you can't choose the consequences. And I want to challenge you today that if you're in that situation, you need to make sure that you offer yourself to him and receive him as king in your life.
We trust that you have been blessed and encouraged by today's program, and we thank you for listening. Your partnership with this ministry to help us with our mission of planting churches, preparing leaders, and proclaiming the gospel is greatly needed. Please visit our website today and let us know that you will stand with us. Remember to ask for the thank you gift as you make your donation, and let us know how we can pray for you. You can reach us at GOGF Ministries, 158 East Main Street, Lansdale, PA, 19446. Our online address is www.gogfministries.org. Our office phone number is 215-361-8111. For Dr. Tony Hart, our producer, Pastor Sam Butler, and all of us here at the GOGF, I'm Sheila King reminding you that God loves you today and every day.